Until 11, local, national and international affairs. Plus some goss and scandal. You're listening to Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And into the second hour of the program. Coming up, a look at Monday's sport. A great win by Geelong. They're still on top of the ladder, one game clear of everyone else. But how are we feeling about their long-term prospects? And also, have they beaten any good sides yet? We'll talk about that after 10:30. But now a new segment on Mitchell's Front Page, which is going to be happening once a month with the Barwon Community Legal Service. And this segment we're going to be calling Without Prejudice. And I think it's a really important segment because people often don't know a lot about the law. And it's important to empower people to understand what's going on. And I will just read out that this segment contains general information only and is not legal advice. If you do need legal advice, please contact Barwon Community Legal Service directly on 1300 430 599. With me in the studio from that service is Damien Pitts. Damien, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Mitch.
Great to have you on the program. And first of all, thanks for agreeing to do this segment. I think it's great that we're going to be talking about legal issues on the radio. And apparently you were back on The Pulse when we first started under a different name, 3YR, back in the 1980s. Not you personally, but representatives of the service.
Apparently, that's the rumour. So hopefully I don't say anything that gets us banned until 2049.
But it's good to have you back. Now, today you really want to talk about the voting system and I suppose how it all works from a legal perspective, because people need to understand this stuff.
That's absolutely right. I did hear, Mitch, about half an hour ago, you described this segment as an exciting new segment. I was
yes.
pleased to hear that. And there's nothing more exciting than voting.
I agree.
No, I'm being a bit facetious, but it's an important issue. It's an important time of the year. So just to start off with, I wanted to make sure people are aware that the source of all of our Australian laws is not the Constitution. It's not locked up in some vault. It's the Australian people themselves. So Australian people indirectly make Australia's laws by voting. Of course, you can contribute to democracy in a variety of ways between voting or electoral cycles, but this is one of the big ones. So once you vote, Parliament then makes laws or changes laws or even gets rid of laws, and that's all because of what you do at the ballot box. So, for example, if you think that the government's policy on climate change stinks, well, you can vote for somebody with a policy you like. Alternatively, if you think the government's policy on climate change is awesome, you can vote for the government. So it does make real change.
Yeah, and I think that's important for people to understand just how important it is when they're filling out that ballot paper. And I'm looking forward to going in and numbering all 82 squares below the line on the Senate ballot paper. So voting is a big deal.
It's a big deal. And I think people in other countries certainly get this. Some people have had to fight very hard, and many of them have lost their lives to get a vote. In Saudi Arabia, women only got the vote there in 2015, so that's a long time between drinks. Mm. More recently, in the election in Indonesia, which is the biggest one single-day election on Earth, 17th of April, 260 million or so got out. About 270 of their electoral officers died enforcing their official obligations, counting votes. So that's commitment. Other countries tend to get it, and other countries aren't all as lucky as Australia. For example, in Cameroon, Paul Biya has been the leader for 43 years.
Wow.
It's a fair amount of time, and you think our electoral cycle is drawn out. Xi Jinping in China, he, in 2018, effectively became president. You might want to put some inverted commas around that word, for life after two term presidencies were revoked. So we're very lucky here. It's not a perfect system. There are some problems with the Australian system. Some people don't like, you know, not huge fans of preferential voting. It can trip you up if you only go below the line up to 12 in the Senate. Your vote doesn't go anywhere, and we'll talk about that a bit more later. There's also a bit of a wobbliness with who's eligible. For example, somebody under investigation for criminal offences can still nominate for the Senate, and we have got a situation like that at the moment, whereas somebody who is in jail serving a term with a maximum of 3 years can't vote. So it's not entirely perfect, but overall it's a comparatively good system.
I like that you look at those other countries with examples. Obviously, there's a few Australian politicians that would like to be members of the House of Representatives for the rest of their life. But people complain at the moment about having to queue up around the corner at the Belmont pre-poll because the queue is snaking out the door and around the corner of the traffic lights. And yet here you've got all these examples of Cameroon and other countries where it doesn't work quite as well. So count your blessings.
That's right. The other thing is, even if you aren't counting your blessings and you don't like it, well, stiff bickies, because you've still got to vote. So since 1924, voting has been compulsory for all Australians on the electoral roll. The question that then often follows is, well, if I'm not on the electoral roll, do I have to vote? And the answer is no, but then you'll be fined for not being on the electoral roll. So you can't sneak out of it that way.
Mm.
There are some exceptions. So if you have a cognitive impediment of some sort, or otherwise incapable of understanding the nature and significance of voting, then you are exempt. But pretty much, if you're on the electoral roll, and you should be, and you don't vote, you'll get a fine. And if you don't pay that fine, then you end up at the Magi's Court with a criminal charge you've got to face.
Do we know what the fine actually is? We were talking about this on Friday, and I didn't know. I thought it was $40. Someone said $100.
It's rather small, and I'm reluctant to mention what it is in case people think, oh, yeah, I can save that money, but it's $20 at the moment. So it's a pretty small amount, but the point is you've got to do it. And if a lot of people, I think, would not even pay that fine and might end up in a bit of hot water with a criminal charge. So even though it's not a huge amount of money, it is compulsory. So get out there, roll up your sleeves and, you know, do your civic duty.
Yep, I've always supported compulsory voting. I think it works very well. So, actually, just one point on the compulsory voting. Is it true that it's only compulsory for you to get your name ticked off on the electoral roll and you can do what, for example, Peter Moore advocated or did in the newspaper last week, just put a blank ballot paper into the ballot box and that's it?
Well, you can certainly run amok. Once you've, you know, ticked off your name, you can go to your booth and it's all confidential. So unfortunately, we still have a reasonably high percentage of informal votes. I think it's normally hovering around the 5% mark in most centres. That's still pretty good worldwide. It's going to be a bit higher than that with places that have compulsory voting. But yeah, if you want to do, I mean, some people do an informal vote just because they stuff it up. But some people do a donkey vote, which is just going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, in order. That's still going to be counted because the electoral officer looking at the vote has to believe that, you know, you've expressed your intention. Other people might just, you know, do a funny face or anarchist sign or, you know, I don't know, whatever. That's up to you. But I would think, given those examples we've already spoken of, we've got a real privilege here being able to elect our parliamentarians and influence the law. And I wouldn't want to throw that away myself, and I hope most people wouldn't.
And I did a donkey vote at a state election a few years back because the candidate I liked most was first on the ballot paper and the candidate I liked least was at the bottom of the ballot paper. So it's still a valid vote.
Well, that works out well.
So that leads into the next point, which is making sure that you vote properly because you want to have your say and make sure that it counts, so you don't want an informal vote.
That's right. So an easy place to start is to make sure you're enrolled. Hopefully most people have done this already. You can check on the Australian Electoral Commission's website. Easy to browse and find that. It's pretty straightforward. Also, if democratically speaking you've been a total slacker, don't worry. If you're enrolling now when you've been tardy, you're not going to get fined for failing to enrol and vote in the past. So you could still check to see if you're enrolled, and if you haven't enrolled, that's the way to do it. You also need to make sure you're enrolled in your electorate. Mm. That means where you permanently live. So you need to have been there at your nominated address for a month. If you're temporarily absent, no big deal. So you don't need to update your enrolment details, for example, if you went camping over Easter. But the point is you've got to have been in your electorate, you know, common sense definition of permanent residency, for a month.
Yeah, okay. My esteemed producer points out that it's too late now to update your details on the electoral roll. You have to wait, but you'll be able to vote next time around.
That's right.
If you update it now.
That's right. So the close of rolls has happened with the issuing of writs, and we won't go into that because it's not as exciting as the rest of this segment. But, yeah, if you haven't done it, you missed out. But you can still certainly check to see that you're in your right electorate, and then if you're not, well, you can tear your hair out and make a little note in your calendar in 4 years' time to make sure you get it right next time.
So making sure that you vote properly, I said, on the House of Representatives ballot paper, you have to fill in every square, which is the vertical one. And on the big Senate one, either go above or below, but try and number as many boxes as you can, because then your vote stays in play for longer. At least 6 above the line and at least 12 below the line. Is that what you had?
That's basically it. So we've got two houses of Parliament. Both of those houses make the law, or make the law. So a law will be proposed in the House of myself and proposed in the House of Representatives. It then goes to the Senate for review, and if it gets approved, it bounces back to the House of Reps to get signed off or assented to, is the formal terminology. House of Reps ballot is, the easier one. It's a green paper. There are normally only a handful of candidates, so normally about five to seven. Number every box. Don't use any ticks or crosses. You've got to use digits, so numbers, and make sure you don't use the same number more than twice, otherwise it's not going to get counted. Then you do the Senate ballot limbo, which is it's the white paper. You unfold it and it just keeps going. It's like one of those scrolls in the Ten Commandments.
You could use it as a tablecloth.
You could quite easily. That's right. So there are many more candidates. Each state has 12 senatorial positions serving 6-year terms. Each territory has 2 positions, 3-year terms. You can, as you said, Mitch, you can go above the line, at least 6 boxes above the line. You can go below the line, and you've got to hit at least 12 boxes. But obviously, you can just keep going and fill them all in. So best to do a bit of research, if you can, on parties' policies before you find yourself, nervously chewing on your pencil in the ballot booth, trying to work out who you don't want to send your last 81st vote to.
Yeah, now I think that's a very important point. And some party names can be deceptive. So, for example, if they say they're called the Sustainable Australia Party, you think that might be about climate change, but it turns out they're about population.
Yes, that's quite right. So it's good to do
research.
That's right. So I think it's very important to make sure you just do a quick browse on the internet, probably the easiest, on those parties you're interested in. And even, you can go to the Electoral Commission and see who's in your electorate. And know what you're doing. Don't just jump in and try to wing it. It's democracy. Let's not wing it. Let's try to get it right. One other aspect which probably people are familiar with is the How to Vote cards. They're produced, they're a reflection of preference deals between parties, and they're a suggestion only. So you run the gauntlet, obviously, when you go up to your polling centre and people jump out and throw cards at you.
Yeah.
You don't have to take them. It makes it easier, I guess, if you know who your party is and you're happy with them. They're preferencing deals. You just go in and fill it out as they've requested. But I guess best to remember they're just suggestions. They shouldn't, if you want to do it yourself, by all means. And I would hope everyone does think about doing it themselves and at least looking into the policies of the other all parties. So just keep in mind it's not, it's not literally how to vote. It's just a suggestion.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, because there's been a lot of stuff coming out now about, don't vote for a party that preferences someone else, etc. But people need to know that they control their preferences, particularly as we were talking about with Andy Medic in the first hour, with the abolition of group ticket voting in the Senate. So now everyone controls their vote entirely.
That's it. Absolutely.
Well said. So prerequisites.
Prerequisites was might have been a typo on my part. It was supposed to be perquisites.
Oh, okay.
So perquisites of voting, apart from anything else. You might get a Lamington if you're lucky. They're normally cheap soft drinks at RSL or local bowls club prices, helping school fates, which is a good cause in itself. There is democracy sausage, which I think was word of the year. Well, that's not really a word, last year. So you can get a free snagger. Well, not free, but a greatly reduced cost snagger. And, of course, you get a warm glow from the completion of your time-honoured civic duty. So,
and it's a time when the community comes together in one place as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great thing. We don't very fortunate, as I said, we're very fortunate in this country. We can go to a polling booth without being harassed. You don't feel intimidated. It's a pretty mellow mood, I think most people will find, if you haven't voted before. It's all very civilised and civil. And, look, it's really important. So please do it and do your best to do it right.
Excellent. Well, Damien, thank you very much for coming in this morning for this inaugural segment. And I suppose we don't yet know what you'll be talking about, or someone else will be talking about next month.
Not yet, but we'll get cracking on that.
No, excellent. Thanks for coming in. It's been a very informative discussion.
Thanks again, Mitch.
Damien Pitts joining us on the program for our new segment, Without Prejudice, a Q&A with Barwon Community Legal Service.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.